This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I tried to set up this interview last segment because it's a good story and I think it's worth our time. In 1980, Jim Tyre, who was a legend at his position in the NFL, left tackle, nine-time Pro Bowl selection, six-time All-Pro player, played in Super Bowl I, was the co-captain in Super Bowl IV. This was the guy at left tackle. And a businessman and a husband and a father who was held up as this shining example of this is how you do it. This is how you balance your professional life and your personal life. But one of the saddest chapters in Kansas City Chiefs history centers around Jim Tyre. Because in 1980, he shot and killed his wife and then turned the gun on himself. Murder-suicide. It's tragic. His four children, Martha's parents, moved into the home to raise them, found forgiveness in their hearts for Jim Tyre. This is a stunning story that could end in Canton, Ohio. Filmmaker here to talk about it, of course, talk about the documentary. Kevin Patrick Allen is joining us. Kevin, thanks for making time for us, man. I'm really into this story, and there's obviously an NFL angle to it, but where do we start? I mean, do we go back to Jim Tyre's career, or where do we start this story when you start to tell this story?
You know, that is a good question, and it's because it's just so multifaceted. But yeah, I go back to his career because I try to get people to see this through the lens of a modern player. Let's take Jason Kelce, for example. You see how popular he is. He's a family man and all. And then imagine this playing out in the way that it did with the Tyre family. It's only when I look at it through that lens that I get an appreciation for how devastating this was, and also an appreciation for why don't we know his name? Why right. has he disappeared, or why has he been disappeared by pro football in many ways?
Yeah, let's get to that because, you know, I asked my my cohort here, Stephen, during the commercial break, I said, had you ever heard of Jim Tyre? And he said, no. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I was a kid when he was playing, but I had never heard of him. I don't know the name. And yet, you know, this guy's should be up there along with Jim Otto and other greats who played in that era as one of the great offensive linemen of that era, save for his death and his crime. How much of this, like I brought up CTE. How much of this do you think is a CTE story?
I think it's 100% a brain trauma story. Whether you call it CTE or, you know, any number of things with somebody becoming somebody else. I went into it with the thought that, as a longtime reporter, people say all the time, well, he was a great guy, and then he did this. And when I dig into it, I'm like, how are you defining great? Because I don't see it. But in this case, I mean, really, this is a model citizen who did a terrible thing, and you see this decline after he retires. And it's not a decline because he misses the game. I mean, they all miss the game. It's a decline because he's not clicking. He's not able to make the business decisions that he used to, and his personality is different. And I mean, it's just clear as can be. And it, you know, the thing that I wanted to do when I dove into the story and I talked to the family about it was, hey, I know it was 1980 when your dad died, but I want to see if I can prove what happened to him. And you know what? I was able to prove it. It took a lot of time, but I put the evidence in front of anybody, and you'll walk away and you'll be like, that was a good guy who became somebody else because of what happened to his head.
Give me an idea, you know, his four children, I think two of his sons went on to play Division I football. So, you know, football was not viewed as this terrible thing. You know, they obviously followed in their dad's footsteps. And then Martha's parents, you know, I can't imagine finding that kind of forgiveness. You know, as you unpack this story and go to tell it in the documentary, the relationship between the children and the grandparents and all of that forgiveness, you know, how do you sort of speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the most impressive thing is I think about, you know, you're the parent of the child that is murdered. And in this case, it was a firstborn child. And in addition to that, the grandfather, Martha's dad, he had been in a terrible accident the day after he graduated from college, and he lost three limbs in a car accident, and rallied and had an incredible career in life. But he didn't think anybody was going to marry him, you know? And so when somebody did see him for who he was, did marry him, Martha was born 10 years to the day of his car wreck. So you put all that into this little girl, you realize she's his redemption in life, and she's the one who's murdered. But that grandfather thought so highly of Jim, and the grandma thought so highly of Jim, that they knew it wasn't him and never said a negative word to the kids about him.
The film is called Beneath the Shadow. This is the story of Jim Tyer's life and ultimately his death and also his crime, you know, that he committed. He's now being considered. He is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Where do his children stand on this? I mean, is it true that they're funding the film? Are they trying to, you know, are they trying to promote him? Do they want to improve his legacy? Or, you know, give us an idea of where the kids fit in into your project.
Yeah, no, they have been alongside in terms of the interviews. If I didn't have the trust of them, this film wouldn't happen. But they're not getting a penny from the film. They haven't donated a penny to the film. They are the kind of strong, stoic people that for 40 years, they've, like, our dad deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but we're not going to beg anybody. We're not going to do a campaign or anything else. If you're not going to do the right thing, we'll have to live with it. So that's kind of who the kids are. And, boy, I hear you say he's a finalist for the Hall of Fame, and I still can't believe it because I've worked on this film for years now, several years. And as early as 6 months ago, people would laugh when I said he's going to get it to the Hall of Fame. I mean, nobody thought this would happen. But, you know, you keep on digging and you find evidence and you tell people about this family, the walls start to come down and they're open to doing what they should have done a long time ago.
I'll be honest with you. I had a similar reaction to it because I immediately saw the film and I started to read about it. And I saw a couple other publications had written about it, and I said, oh gosh, this is a pipe dream. Like, you know, the Hall of Fame's never going to allow someone in who committed a murder and suicide, and never even heard of this guy. And yet, the more I found out about it, the more I started to say, well, wait a minute, like, we've had tremendous advances in CTE and the understanding of the damage that was done to the brains of the players who played in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. If this were Dave Dalby in a parking lot in Dana Point driving into a tree, or Junior Seau, we view it differently. Why do you think the NFL has swept this away? Why don't we know Jim Tyer's name?
Because there's complexity with legacies, and it's easy for all of us to hate somebody who's done something bad instead of recognizing that bad things happen that aren't always bad people. I had a CTE expert, as I was working on this, say to me, oh, you're going with complexity and nuance. Society doesn't do that. And laughed at me. And I said, yeah, well, you know, let's show everybody what happened here, and we'll go from there. And I think with the NFL, bottom line, it's not a good business decision. I'm seeing comments all over, you know, different forums. When people immediately react, they say, good job, NFL, way to applaud a killer, and way to, you know, embrace domestic violence. But it's those knee-jerk reactions that we all like. But you dive in, and you're like, I'm not different than this guy. He didn't become an evil person. He was injured. He was diseased. And I don't think the NFL is still fond of me for doing this, to be quite frank with you. And I've also been told that there are several voters that intend to reject this. That upsets me to no end, that several voters have said they're going to take an anonymous moral stand to block his inclusion.
Kevin Patrick Allen is the filmmaker. The movie is about Jim Tyer. It's called Beneath the Shadow. It's a documentary. Chris Nowinski, who is the founder of the Concussion Legacy Foundation, has been a guest on this show. We've talked with him about the brain studies that have gone on, particularly at the Boston University. You have a doctor who saw Jim and Martha Tyer before the murder-suicide. Does he appear in the documentary, the doctor who met with them before and sort of recognized there was something off?
Yes. Yes, in fact, I mean, I had a list of four kind of like pie-in-the-sky pieces of evidence that I wanted to find, and found three of them, actually. But the doctor was not on my list because nobody knew he existed. And as I was nearing the end of putting together the film, I sat down with the eldest child in the entire family and said, you know, is there anybody you can think of, a doctor, that maybe your family encountered? And she had a last name. And I found this guy in Florida, the last place that he worked. I left a voicemail. And 2 minutes later, the phone rings, and the guy says, this has weighed on me for 44 years.
Hmm.
And lo and behold, Martha Tyer had brought her husband Jim in to see him the day before the murder-suicide. And there was something wrong. I just couldn't put a finger on it. To the point that when they're leaving the office, Jim has gone on up the hall, Martha Tyer grabs the doctor by the arm and says, there is something wrong with my husband. And I see that now as a stake in the ground. Almost like somebody that they know that maybe their voice isn't going to be heard later. I just take it as Martha Tyer wanted everybody to know. this wasn't her husband, and there was something wrong.
That you know, it gives me chills to hear that. That, you know, we look at CTE, we look at brain damage, and we say, okay, this is a trauma to the brain, and we know now that personality changes and behaviors that, you know, we've seen in athletes that had never committed crimes and never had any trouble. Suddenly, you know, I don't need to name names. There have been a number of professional athletes who have done squirrely things in the last few years, where we have talked about players walking off the field and quitting and having just strange interactions with the media and being alienated by their families. And we sort of chalk it up as, you know, oh, they're struggling with mental health. But I think CTE definitely becomes a suspect in a lot of these things. Kevin Patrick Allen is our guest. His movie, Beneath the Shadows, is about a family, a complex legacy, and a guy who is a finalist, Jim Tyer, for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If he's inducted, does it send a bad message in your mind? That, because there is an element to this. I mean, he committed a crime, and he took the mother of four children off planet Earth. He erased her. Is there an element of this that becomes a bad message for the Hall of Fame to send?
No, I don't think so, because listen, we know what's happened over the past 44 years. Nobody knows about this family. And this family, the four kids, have achieved wonderful things. One works with children in the pediatric department in a hospital. They are the model of how you take tragedy and learn from it. And God knows the NFL's going to deal with more of this. So when you silence a legacy in its entirety, you not only silence the ugly stuff, you silence all the resilience, all the working through, all the lessons. And that's the thing here. I mean, if this is a family, we all know that families' legacies are messy. Well, football is supposedly a family, and its legacy is messy, but we're trying to pretend it's not. And when you do that, you don't learn a thing. And you, in the meantime, you hurt these kids more. To see them behind the podium in Canton would be a victory for empathetic, critical thinking, smart, good-hearted people that understand that life isn't perfect.
Jim Tyer, NFL great with a tragic past. Our guest, Kevin Patrick Allen, has made a documentary about Tyer's life, death, and legacy. Pro Football Hall of Fame, will you give testimony? Will they watch the documentary? What is the process now?
We are at this point, because they know enough about the documentary. They've seen the evidence that, that they know he should be in. He's the greatest player, not in the Hall of Fame. That's been known for a while. Here's the thing. It's that small group of people that want to take the quote-unquote anonymous moral stand. Those are the ones that will sabotage the whole thing. And I just find it beyond ironic that you call it in a moral stand and it's anonymous. Number one, if it's anonymous, how much guts does that take? There's not any integrity there. The Hall of Fame's rules say you focus strictly on on-field performance, so you're breaking the rules. You're ignoring what the family wants, as if you know better than the people that found their mom and dad's bodies. And you've got droves of people that attest to what kind of guy this was until the game that he played changed him. To call it a moral stand, I think that's just really hollow.
Is it a now or never situation with Tyer in the Hall of Fame in your mind?
You know, every year they start with hundreds of names. and to get to three after a half dozen cut downs, and for this to be up to 44 years, I just, I kind of feel like that team that never thought they would get to the championship and they get there. You don't want to just appear. You don't get there to get blown out. And really, it'll be a sad day if they do a disservice to these kids again. But none of us want honorable mention. None of us want runner-up. None of us want to just say we appeared. I worked my butt off to find this, and it's not just because it's a film. It's what I do. This lined up in a way that I can't even explain, like a meant to be kind of way. And so, yeah, I'm not satisfied. They're not satisfied. And I don't think anybody else should be.
Kevin Patrick Allen, I appreciate your work, and good luck to you. I'll keep following and see what happens. Great film.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right, there he goes. Story of Jim Tyre. If you never heard it before, you heard it today. I consider myself a football fan and a fan of the NFL, and he's a little before my time, but I look back and go, gosh, from a football standpoint, no-brainer, guy being in the Hall of Fame. And I understand why the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters wouldn't have inducted him after the murder-suicide in 1980. But I wonder, after League of Denial, after Junior Seau, after so much evidence about CTE, and the four kids and the grandparents saying on record, this was not him. This was out of character. Is Jim Tyre a casualty of the same game that built his life and built his legacy and built his profile? We will find out as the Pro Football Hall of Fame voters, they'll decide right in front of Super Bowl 59 that week. They will decide whether or not Jim Tyre makes it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Punch It Audio is coming up, plus maybe Jake Dickert. Leave it here.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.